Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Believers, it's that time again. We are back. We are talking about episode 18, Spiders and Skeletons. We've got a very unlikely duo in a tag team match. Can they coexist? Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There we go. We gotta set the mood right off the bat.
I hate spiders.
Spiders are the worst. Like, I don't have as strong of a reaction to them as some people I know, but they're pretty awful.
Yeah.
No, that's about it. That's about it. Guys, it's that time again. Jimbo is back.
I'm back.
He's back, baby.
Baby. And battle never.
Oh, guys, it's that time again. It's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. This is the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. You can find me online at all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. As I said, returning to his rightful place on this panel. You can find him online at Jimbo in the Booth because he's Jimbo in the Booth. James Frank.
Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dummy. Oh, he'd be great in the temple.
He'd be so good.
Eli Drake.
So good.
Yeah.
Eli Drake.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. Friend of ours. Good
Spiders
dude.
And skeletons.
Spiders and skeletons. Just all around spooky stuff.
Spooky.
It's getting to be that season. Spooky. I miss Dario. Oh. I miss Dario sometimes.
I wonder how his father feels about the spookiness.
The spookiness. I bet he leans into it. I mean, did you see his witch's hat? When he talked about the haunted house match,
oh man,
there's a little witch's hat with a spider hanging down off the front. He is all about the spookiness, leaning all the way into it.
Spiders.
It's about that time. October is well underway. There's haunted houses everywhere.
There's monsters like Matanza,
yep.
Who's about to take out.
Of course. So we have got a very angry Weta Loca, Taya Valkyrie, in the middle of the ring. She wants Matanza's ass right. Now, she's furious that he ruined her big day.
Yeah.
And she's going to take it out on him.
Almost Jake the Snake-esque.
Yeah, right.
With the cobra and the gift.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least he let them have their moment and have their vows and didn't interrupt that.
Nope, this time, nope, no such luck. So, Antonio Cueto, he comes out and he says, you know, you're a woman who knows what you want. I like that. See, I thought that he was going to make something for Ultima Lucha, but he makes a sacrifice to the gods match right now between
it was crazy.
Taya and Matanza. This was an awesome, I loved this match. I did legitimately think for a second that Taya might have gotten sacrificed.
I didn't think she was going to get sacrificed, but I thought she put up more of a fight than I expected.
Yes, exactly. She hits those double knees in the corner, reverses a suplex into a rear naked choke.
Yeah, and almost she hits him with a bunch of DDTs and a couple cool Ranas. But yeah, that diving DDT that he then almost gives her a deadlift suplex that she reverses into the choke.
Yes, exactly.
That was great.
Oh, man.
But it ends with Mundo coming in and saving her from the wrath of gods and hitting not so much a super kick, but like a jumping super kick.
Exactly, yeah.
That nailed him square in the face.
But before we get into all that, I want to talk about that moonsault that Taya hit him with.
Beautiful.
Because that, not only that, but the camera angle that they caught that with was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. They shot whoever was on your jib camera.
They love that jib.
Whoever's working the jib.
They love that jib in the temple.
I would love to see
like
Mill
get
pissed at the jib camera and just start shaking it, and the crane just starts moving. We'll get to cameramen later in this episode because one of them was a champ during that tag
match.
I'm
imagining, like, it reminds me of, like, the old GameCube wrestling games where you could, like, hang from, like, a helicopter or something, you know?
I love that game. That was one of my favorites.
I would love to see a vignette where, Mill's just hanging from the gym.
This one fights back.
so like you said, in the middle of the attempt to of the Wrath of the Gods, Johnny Mundo slides in, hits that big jumping super kick, just wailing on him with forearms, hits him with the Moonlight Drive, hits him with the End of the World.
You know what was funny is his glasses fall off. and he hits the Moonlight Drive, and he lands on his own glasses and breaks them. And then he goes up to hit the, what is it, the end of the world. And all I could think of was Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat. Like, those are $500 glasses, asshole.
Yes!
Thank you. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man. I need to watch that movie again. God, I love that movie. So, and then the kind of the big news coming out of that is that Matanza takes the end of the world and he is right back up immediately.
Yeah, he don't play.
He don't play. So we get the news during the commercial break that at Ultima Lucha Quattro, there will be a Sacrifice to the Gods match between Johnny Mundo and Matanza. And I guess, I mean, like,
what does that mean? Whoever loses gets sacrificed to the gods?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I assume, obviously, if Mill wins, then he would sacrifice Johnny Mundo. But, I mean, like, Johnny can't just sacrifice anyone. Like, Matanza's the only one with the power to do that. That's the whole point. That's his whole thing.
Oh, man.
So, what does Johnny get?
This goes deep, and I don't know if I can answer on this, because we interviewed Jeff Cobb on Xbox 1-360.
Oh, boy!
He might have given some insight.
What?
So,
well,
I'm going to leave that there.
If you want
go subscribe.
If you want some insight or some potential Lucha Underground spoilers, go check out Jeff Cobb's interview on Xbox 1-360. Jeff Cobb, who is a good friend of Matanza, I have on good authority.
Yeah.
Boy.
That guy's a monster.
Boy, oh boy. Is he just like the Mark Ruffalo of Lucha Underground, just spoiling shit in interviews?
No, I don't think it was that severe. It was more of like, well, how long's your contract for?
I see. You okay. Know?
So
once you get the behind the scenes news.
I do know what you're talking about though. I was like, what is he? Oh, you're talking about the Hulk, where the Hulk just ruined that shit about Avengers, right? Okay.
Oh, good old Mark Ruffalo.
Check it. Moving on.
We've got a rundown of the Ultima Lucha Quattro card as it stands right now. We've got Mundo versus Matanza, Mask versus Mask between Son of Havoc and Killshot, the Cerro Miedo match for the Lucha Underground title between Pentagon Dark and Marty the Moth Martinez, a death match between Mil Muertes and the Mac, and of course the 2 out of 3 falls match between Dark Phoenix, our new pal Evil Phoenix, and Dragon the Azteca Jr. So it's shaping up to be a good card.
Scared for the mech.
And they had to pack a lot into it. Last year it was 4 episodes. This year they've only got 2 to work with. So
what?
Yeah. Ooh. Super short season, super short Ultima Lucha. They're doing stuff quick.
They're condensing things right? as much as they can.
Exactly. So a lot can happen between now and then. But we got a... It's been a while since I've done this. But we got a tag team match, player. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
You just made his night right now.
I didn't think you had
I never even got that cue that on point when I was in the booth.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Josh. You are an all-star. I was not expecting that to be cued up. Oh,
I used to wait till like the 4th time where he would be like, a tag team hysterical. Match, and then I'd hit it just to keep people on their toes.
Josh, you're brilliant. We got a tag team match, tornado
player.
Style.
Player.
Let me holler at you, player. The Big Show.
The Undertaker.
Tag team match between the Mac and Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on the unlikely duo that we teased up at the top of the show of Mil Muertes and Phoenix.
What would you name these teams?
Oh, boy.
I think Phoenix and Mill would be like Dark and Dead.
I like that. Matt Stryker made a horrendous pun when Mil Muertes was in the ring. Did you catch it?
I did not.
He said, "This is no Meek Mill."
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy.
Thank you, studio audience, for sharing that pain with us.
We got a packed studio audience in the AfterBuzz studios right now. I don't know. I'll have
Mac
to think about
Dragon.
That. Mac Dragon is very good. I had to think about that for a second. I like it. I like that a lot. But we don't usually get to see tornado tag team action that much in the temple.
I mean, it's not usually called a tornado tag, but it's usually always ends up being a tornado
tag. That's true.
They'll be like, oh, it's now Lucha Rules.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which means when one guy goes in, the other guy can come in.
Exactly. It's a little bit more kind of lax on the tag rules. Obviously, there's no tag rope in the temple.
No.
So
interesting.
Right?
That's funny.
But I love the double teams that we see from Mill and Phoenix.
For not being a tag team, this is the first time they ever tagged together.
Not only not being a team, but being two people who actively hated each other in another life.
Well, I've heard that's a really good way to have a tag team, is two guys that were great enemies and opponents really make a good tag team. That's what happened with Public Enemy, Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge.
Really?
That they fought all over Japan. And then Paul Heyman was like, hey, I'll make them a team.
I did not know that. Yeah. I loved Public Enemy.
No.
So good. Guys, watch your classic ECW. Not so much WCW.
I loved let's talk classic WCW. As Tekka doing the Kidman, like, powerbomb counter.
Oh, that's right.
He runs in like he's going to do a Rana. And then the guy picks him up for a powerbomb, and he continues to roll and hits him with a facebuster.
It's an unspoken rule in wrestling. You never try to powerbomb Kidman.
Yeah, he can always counter
it. Because he can always turn it into a facebuster. Yeah.
You just don't do it. You don't do it.
What else? What else do we get? We get that just gorgeous snap power slam from Mill. It looks like it gets closer and closer to the mat every time he does it.
Oh, it's so dangerous. Willie hits some beautiful Ranas doing crazy Willie Lucha stuff.
Dude, Willie doing Lucha is so gorgeous.
Which made me think. So you've seen Black Dynamite, the movie?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I love that movie.
Imagine a mix of like Black Dynamite and the old school Lucha Santo movies.
Okay.
With Willie Mack as the star.
As Mac Dynamite?
Yeah.
Exactly. Amazing.
Mac Dynamite.
I'm writing that script 1,000%.
And he's like the one black guy doing Lucha in Mexico, and all the other guys are angry about it.
God, I'm like, legit not even joking. I'm 100% going to write that script. That's incredible.
I love it. Let's do this.
Mac Dynamite. I love Willie. What else do we got?
They did this awesome tag team move where like Phoenix curls up in a ball and holds his knees out.
Yes.
And then Mill power bombs him on his knees.
Right,
like
onto the knees. We also got like these double teams that weren't necessarily tandem moves, but just moves that kind of flowed right into each other. Phoenix does that amazing springboard spinning back kick into the corner. Throws Millie right...
Millie.
Throws Millie Vanilli. Throws Willie right to Mill Martinez, who hits him with the TKO.
And then even Mill's trying to do the doomsday device, the Dragon Azteca. Phoenix jumps as Tekka tucks, and Willie catches Phoenix with a stunner.
Stunner, and then beautiful. After that, it's stunners for everyone.
Stunners all around. DDTJ.
God, and this was, I don't know if he's gotten this much height on the DDTJ before.
No.
Holy crap.
And for someone who's not like a Brian Cage to chuck you in the air either.
Yeah, exactly. At one point, Mil Muertes hits a Regal Plex looks
my God.
Just disgusting.
Because I thought he was just setting him up for a back suplex.
Yeah,
and then he hooks the leg. And if he would have bridged on that,
right?
It would have blew my mind.
What else? And then we got to talk about the camera guy.
Oh, hold on before we get there. So when Mill came out at the start of the match, he picked on two cameras.
Of course.
Not unlike Mill.
Sure.
So we get dive from everyone's doing crazy dives. And then Phoenix goes and does what you think is going to be a soul butt when he spins and kicks you in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
But he kicks Azteca in the head.
Oh.
So I was wondering, does that happen often where, like, you think the guy's going to hit you with a soul butt and he just goes high instead of low?
Not
like, – because when you see them do that spin, you know they're going to kick you, expecting
– Not really, only because so few guys have that flexibility and that, like, that aim to be able to – like Aleister Black's Black Mass, like, to be able to hit that high. Really, honestly, I've seen Phoenix do it. I've seen Aleister Black do it, and I've seen Willie do it. I have not seen many other people do it.
Dangerous.
Amazing stuff. But so Phoenix goes for one of his kind of feints. He does these feints, you know, where it's almost like a backward 619 kind of out through the ropes and then back into the ring. Exactly, the 916. There you go. But as he does it, he just clobbers one of the cameramen.
He 619's a cameraman.
The guy keeps hold of the camera, falls completely back onto the ground, gets back up like nothing happened.
He does the ready to rumble bump where the guy like straight like spikes
when they're in
up
like the barn.
Yeah, and it hits like the ding button, like it hits like the bell and everything. And he's like, "Wrestling's fake." And the guy, Jimmy King, punches him. He's like, "That feel fake to you?"
God,
and he just rolls
movie.
Back. That's takes the back bump, rolls straight up, goes back to his feet, keeps shooting camera. professional.
Just like professional. Like nothing happened. Like nothing happened. Might as well have just been snapping.
I wonder what people in the booth were saying on headphones right there. Like, oh, Jeff. Oh, God, Jeff. Oh, yeah, Jeff, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, because at first you think, like...
I don't know if his name's Jeff.
It could be. Who knows?
Camera guy Jeff.
We've known camera guys named Jeff before. There's cable guy Jeff. Historical precedence. But because the first thing you think of is like, oh, that's kind of surprising that they left it in. But then you see the reaction that he got for getting up and just continuing to film like nothing happened.
And you
got to
think, what angle were they going to go to? Right. It would have been funny to cut to his angle and show like the tumble back.
Well, like WWE loves to do that when they... Well, I don't know if they love to do that. That's just always kind of how it ends up happening. Oh, they probably don't love it very much now that I think about it.
That happened to me in a match filming Willie where he was about to hit cast iron Cawthorn with like a bottle of water, and I didn't want to get water all over my camera.
That's fair.
So I backpedaled and I tripped and I did the exact same rollback and just kept filming like nothing happened.
I remember I hope it's not too much of a tangent. I remember playing touch football in elementary school, and like even then having the instinct to oversell things. Like I got touched like kind of hard and sort of tripped, and I decided to just keep rolling with it and just like tried to pop everyone.
Part of me thought that too. I'm like, you think he's selling the hell out of this? Because he's like, yeah, I need to be taken off the show.
I mean, you can only get so wet. Yeah, if you go down, you might as well go down in a blaze of glory.
What's our insurance like on this show? Like, exactly. Okay, yeah, I might be done for a while.
Honestly, he was probably more worried for the camera than anything. He's just like, shit, what did he do to this camera?
He hates these cameras. Hates
these cams.
It's back to Mill just hating cameras. It's so all good. His fault.
If there's anything that's a recurring story in the temple, it's Mill Martz's hatred of cameras.
And then Phoenix hits this Jericho style drop kick where Jericho would bounce off the corner and kick you off the edge of the ring apron. But he just Enziguri kicks the dude right in the face. No questions asked.
This Dark Phoenix is like, Phoenix was already dope when he was just normal Phoenix. He's so much cooler now.
He's got that Fonzie edge. He's just a bad guy. Fonzie, that's cool.
Fonzie edge. We need a vignette where he just hits a jukebox and turns it on.
And you're like, ee.
But
double finishers.
Double finishers. There's not many things more satisfying in wrestling than a double finisher,
especially when they both land
these
precisely timed.
Were so perfectly timed, because when I saw what they were going for, I knew that Phoenix was obviously about to hit his Black Fire Driver. Milne was about to hit the Flatliner. Those are both kind of different moves with different trajectories. You got to really time that right to hit those perfectly. But goddamn it, if they didn't do it absolutely amazing. Expertly.
I just loved playing video games and trying to do that.
Exactly. Because if you're Mill, you have to kind of wait until they're already on their way down before he kind of drops with the Flatliner. And of course, he just spikes Willie with it.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Just mwah. Amazing.
Kudos to both of you. All four of you.
Next up.
Well, Mill and Phoenix get the win.
Yes. Mill
double and finishers. Mill and Phoenix get the win
with their double the finishers. So good. I hope we see more of this team, because we know that they're both kind of, they're still going to be dark through the end of the season. So hopefully we see more of this team either in the remainder of this season or next season. Who knows?
Dark and dead.
Exactly. Dark and dead. After Buzzers. Let me holler at you for a minute. We talked a little bit about Teddy Long. Let me holler at you, playa. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite television shows. Now, that's everything from dramas to reality TV to sci-fi and so much more. There's absolutely no network that works harder than we do to serve television fans. But that being said, we need your help. See, we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more, if you're nasty, of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to these channels, YouTube is going to suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And in turn, you're going to help AfterBuzz continue to grow the way we keep growing. Ain't no stopping us, just like Shelton Benjamin's theme. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because you can click those bad boys off. They are optional. So hit that subscribe button right now, one time, for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels while you're at it. Let us know you did so in the comments. We'll thank you on air, but for now, thank you for being the absolute best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
You know who likes to talk about famous people?
Who's that?
Famous B.
Famous B. I love Famous
423, get fame.
We need... I wonder if Famous B's theme music is on YouTube. His old music. Did you ever hear his old music, like, before Lucha?
The Call Me a Moose.
It was that song. It was that
got
song.
Got big money.
But
big costs.
Exactly. It was that song at, like, a normal level. And then every once in a while, it's way like, louder, you just hear Famous B.
Yeah.
And then it would go back to the song at a much lower level.
Famous B.
We need to keep that up for when we talk about B.
I love how he had his number down the side of his pant leg.
Of course.
That was great.
His suit in Laker colors.
Oh, man. And then
welcome to LeBron.
He's like, I signed an exclusive contract with myself.
With myself. I was expecting him to like tear off the suit and have his gear on underneath.
Oh, no. I wrote this in my notes. I love when managers or wrestlers are not in their gear and they fight in normal clothes. And you see like how big of a pain in the ass it is to fight in like a jacket
or
a tie.
I can tell you from slacks. Extensive experience that it is a huge pain in the ass.
I heard that's why Wade Barrett used to never wear his jacket with his arms and his sleeves, and he would just like drape it over his shoulders.
Oh, okay.
Because back in like the bare knuckle fighting days, like it's harder to fight in a jacket.
That makes sense.
You just toss it off.
That makes sense.
Throw down.
I always thought it was just a cape. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. You learn something new every day. But we get the inevitable turn of Famous B, accompanied by the beautiful Brenda. He is interrupted so rudely by Ricky Mundo.
Ricky!
Who just, he doesn't so much have beef with B and Brenda. He's just kind of, he just wants to get some aggression out.
He's just creepy.
Just wants to get some anger out.
He's trying to get his creep on.
Exactly, exactly. Eventually we get a match between Famous B and Ricky Mundo. Ricky Mundo is just beating the holy hell out of him. From pillar to post, beating the hell out of him. But Famous B hits an absolutely beautiful Pele kick in his suit.
I loved how when he got his do-rag taken off, Brenda's like, oh, we should have got your weave done.
That's right.
That was hilarious.
Beautiful Brenda being the quote machine that she is, that we know and love.
Ricky Mundo hits this weird, I can't remember who used to do it, so it's like, it's kind of like a cutter neck breaker, cutter driver.
Right. I know Curtis Axel used to use it.
Yes, that's who used to do it.
Right. I was trying to think of who it was, because it reminded me a little, you remember Quicksilver, right? Did you ever see Quicksilver?
Yeah, from like El Generico and Quicksilver.
Yes, Cape Fear. Yeah, exactly. He used to have a move called the Silver Spike that was kind of similar. It would just start as a snapmare and then just go forward into a spike, called it the Silver Spike. This is a little bit different. It starts out kind of like a hangman's neck breaker, drops down into a facebuster.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to explain. I hope he comes up with a name for it soon.
It's one of those things that I don't want to keep trying to explain. You look at it and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
It really lives or dies on who's taking it,
exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly.
But Famous B takes the hell out of it. Ricky Mundo wins the match, gets on the microphone, confesses to being the one that released Matanza to ruin Johnny Mundo and Taya's wedding.
It was me, Johnny.
It was me all along. Oh, man.
That's all that was missing.
Exactly.
That's all that was missing.
Did you ever hear that was supposed to be Chris Daniels?
Shut up.
The higher power? Yeah.
Why not?
And then Vince McMahon realized how small he was, and he was like, no.
Dude.
That's what I heard. That's the rumor.
I don't know if that's become apocryphal at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the word I've always heard.
I saw him at Universal get to play the Deacon.
Did you? Oh, my God. The Waterworld stunt show?
So good.
I love Waterworld. So good.
Oh.
I love it. So gets on the mic, and not only does he confess to being the one who released Matanza, but he says that as long as Taya is in the picture, Johnny is never going to respect him the way that he should.
He's single white female in the shit out of this role.
100%. Absolutely. But so now he lays out a challenge for Taya. So it looks like we're going to have Ricky Mundo versus Taya at Ultima Lucha.
Which is crazy.
Right. That's pretty nuts.
It's crazy on both sides. Like, to step out of the Lucha Underground thing and just see, like, Ricky was a dude in season one who was still Ricky Mandel,
right.
The mirror image or whatever,
his
jacket and, like, his tights. Might have wrestled, like, one or two matches.
Right.
Like, no one cared about. And then, like, from talking to you and other people, that this whole, like, crazy doll, like, impersonating Johnny character, it was all things that he came up with and pitched. That now he's going to be in the main event, essentially, of season four.
Yeah.
And one of the top storylines that people are really invested in.
It's pretty huge, yeah.
Kudos to you, man.
Ricky's awesome. He used to, when he was the mirror image, he used to come out to that song Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band.
Oh, great.
Do you remember that song?
The...
Na-na-na-na-na-na. He hated it.
Really?
Hated it with a passion.
Did they pick it for him? They're like, no, this is what you need to come out to.
I'm pretty sure someone did, yeah, for sure. But I just that has nothing to do with anything, to be fair. That's just a fun little fact.
But fun fact.
I'm just always a fan of when guys hate their theme music.
Really? Oh man, what's your most hated theme music?
My most hated theme music. I don't know if I've ever. Okay, so I wrestled for a place once that couldn't use licensed music, and so they yeah. It's become kind of a thing because people get paranoid about like ASCAP. We'll get back to the show real quick. I promise.
Still wrestling related.
But they gave me a song that was like kind of like a generic sound alike.
Butt Rock, your favorite. Butt
it
rock?
Was not Butt Rock, luckily, but it was like a generic sound alike of American Idiot, and it was real bad. It was real, real bad. Also, once I was managing Eric recently, and he recently has been coming out to This Is America.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Like he's come out to the Chaka Khan song in the last
couple. He's come out to a lot of cool stuff. He used to come out to Bone Crusher, but he came out to This Is America recently, and then I was doing a singles match at that same place, and I was about to go out, and I was like, wait. What music am I coming out to? They're like, oh, you're coming out to Eric. So I was like, no. I cannot come out to This Is America by myself. I cannot do that.
This Is America?
That is not by Childish Gambino.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something.
No, not that one. Different. Not that one. I cannot come out to that by myself. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to our main event. Reclusa taking on Pentagon Dark. Holy shit, what a match this was.
How gorgeous is Chelsea Green.
100%. Yes, and definitely.
I believe she just signed a WWE contract yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
You know?
Weird how that timing works out.
So, yeah, what timing for her?
Right.
I loved her gear. Mm-hmm. Very black light. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
When she was under the black light, the gear looks black and all the white trimming like pops, but when she was in the ring, the gear's like brown.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. No, huh? This match, oh my god, this was a perfect example of the way that Lucha Underground loves to protect these new characters.
Yes.
Like, not
100%.
Not only does Reclusa get a chance to get in the ring one-on-one with Pentagon Dark in the main event of the show, but she is taking absolutely all of his stuff and kicking out. She kicks out when she kicked out of the pump handle.
The Made in Japan?
Yes. Oh my god, I was trying to remember what it was called. Yes, exactly. When she kicks out of that, like, I thought, okay, like, they've protected her quite a bit. She'll kick out of she'll kick out of that.
She'll kick out of one of his three finishing moves.
Exactly. but once he hits the package pile driver, then it's over. When she kicked out of that.
When she kicked out of that on the apron.
Yes, oh my god.
Like,
that was absolutely insane.
What is going on
here?
I loved, because starts out hot. She hits him with the tope, like, right off the bat.
Exactly.
They're brawling on the outside. She's not holding anything back.
Right.
She goes for a cannonball.
Oh, my god. This was so gorgeous. Yeah.
And he powerbombs her on the ring apron straight tailbone first. Just like, yeah. Ass on the ring apron.
That catch
had to hurt.
That catch was so insane. It was so, it couldn't have been more perfectly sort of, like, executed. What else?
Oh, so much.
Lots of Ranas, a diving DDT from Reclusa.
He held nothing back either, because he Irish whips her into the chairs at one point, she just takes out like two rows.
Between that and his chops, oh my god.
One of the things of beauty was Pentagon on the outside, she climbs the top rope and does a Rana. Like,
yes.
Jumping off the top rope, catches him with a Rana on the outside.
So she jumps off the top rope, dives off, hits him with a Rana. At a different point, she hits a move popularized by Candice LeRae, suicide dive into a spinning DDT.
The tope DDT. Yeah.
Yep. I also love, like, to talk about kind of the narrative that's framing the match and the narrative that's framing the show right now. I did enjoy that Matt Stryker says that the closer we get to Ultima Lucha, the more the referees are sort of encouraged to relax the rules. You know, it makes perfect sense, and it's such a little thing, but it makes such a big difference, you know? Like, that's why Marty Elias wasn't counting them out, and that's why he wasn't counting disqualifications.
Oh, this match would have ended on, like, a 20 count on
exactly.
The outside?
Even though it wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't no DQ, it wasn't a title match, nothing like that, but it makes sense that in Antonio Cueto's temple, the closer we get to Ultima Lucha, the more, or the, rather, the less the rules seem to matter.
I love, I didn't love it, but Matt Stryker throwing a jab at Zack Ryder. On commentary, did you notice
that? No, I didn't catch that.
He's like, some men are real men like Pentagon, and other men like want to collect action figures and go to Disneyland.
Hilarious. I did not catch that.
I was like, oh, what a dick.
Loves throwing in those jabs under the radar.
Kick you while you're down.
But like we said, he hits the Made in Japan. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I really liked how much she sold the leg kicks. Because Pentagon always kicks everyone in the leg, and no one ever really sells those.
Right.
She sold that until after the match was done.
That's a great point. That's a very great point.
And was still, like, walking around on a bad wheel and, like, holding her leg. It just makes me think Lance Storm must be such a great teacher.
So good.
Because, like, all his students, like, her, Emma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of his students just have the it.
Absolutely.
They get it.
Carlo Cannon.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Carlo Cannon in Melbourne's own. The Australian wrestling scene is blowing up right now, as it should. But Carlo is a student of Lance Storm's. So good. So Pentagon hits the Made in Japan, hits the package pile driver, on the apron. Still not enough.
Yeah, I wrote, she's not human.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what they need to drive home. She hits a low blow, hits a destroyer. I thought for a brief second that she might have had it.
She was about to win.
Yeah,
me too.
Just to send him, just to really send him into that sort of all is lost moment going into this title match.
So
he
has to go back in the tunnel and look at 7 more pentagons and be like, which one am I?
Exactly.
We are all you, Pentagon.
But eventually, I love, like, I've always been a fan of the idea of, like, the enhanced finisher. Like, if you can't put someone away with something, you've got to really put some mustard on it. The way the Undertaker, like, finished Shawn Michaels with a jumping tombstone, you know? And that's exactly what Pentagon does. Kicks her.
Roman Reigns cock in the fist.
Exactly. Gets her up, hits the ropes, and hits a running package pile driver. Even though, like, that, like, I don't know if that would really add anything to the impact, but
I think it just risk more of you dropping me on my head.
Yeah, exactly. But it looks cool.
Speaking of dropping on the head, have you seen this gif of the figure skaters?
I don't believe so.
I have to send it to you, but straight up, like, reverse tombstone pile driver.
Oh, no!
So bad.
Oh, no!
On ice. Oh, man. Vicious. Almost as vicious as Pentagon wanting to break her arm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He calls for it.
He's about to do it this close, and then he says, no, there's something else. Goes under the ring, grabs a bag. Of course, everyone in wrestling, as soon as they see a bag come from underneath the ring, you know what it's going to be inside.
Depending on who's in the ring.
Right. I guess that's true.
If Joey Ryan's in the ring, it could be gummy bears, Legos.
Yeah, that's right. It could be Legos. But Pentagon dumps it out. Of course, it's thumbtacks. Goes like he's about to powerbomb her, because I thought that he was going to hit her with the package pile driver. But I was like, wait a minute, that would hurt him way more than that would hurt her. But luckily, Marty the Moth interferes. He's got his trusty barbed wire bat in tow. Just beats the hell out of Pentagon with the barbed wire bat. Looks like he's trying to cut himself on the barbed wire and kind of rub his blood on his own face.
Didn't work out the way
you know. It's as you do. Sometimes you just got to do that if you're feeling nasty, whatever. But then they grab a gas can, and actually, I'm going to use that as a segue to get into our very special segment, which we're finally hitting. This is Foley is God. There we go. If you guys are new to the show, we've got a very special segment that we don't always have time for, but now we do, because this season of Lucha Underground has featured a lot of crazy things. It's featured dragons and time travelers and people getting brought back from the dead and all that stuff, but more than anything, it's featured some absolutely amazing Foley work.
Gunshot-style Foley. Celery-breaking Foley.
Exactly. We didn't get quite so much of it this episode, but I noticed that the sound of the gasoline coming out of the gas can was very, like, very loud, like, shouldn't have been picked up by,
like,
the camera.
Wishy, 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 wishy.
But you imagine that Foley artist just kind of, like,
yeah, shake your tumbler, your Lucha tumbler by the microphone.
Pouring.
See, that worked. It worked great. Wonderful. You can be a Foley artist.
Exactly. But we... Other episodes of the show have featured some amazing Foley work. We've got that celery breaking of people's arms or ankles getting broken, depending on the match. We got
any like gunshot style super kick.
Oh god, every super kick, every chop. The sort of like Hanna-Barbera sound effects back when Malasorte was still with us. R.I.P. Malasorte.
Or even the, would you count the Jack Evans air guitar is falling?
Oh, I mean, I guess in the strictest definition of it, sure. Yeah, let's go with that. But it's amazing stuff. We don't really have a whole lot to add to it. We just want to hang a lampshade on that. So the next time you watch Lucha Underground, because we watch it with headphones, I think that's why we might be specifically attuned to the sound effects of the temple.
Yeah, but, and you wrestle, so you know what those things that's sound
also,
like.
Right, that also helps.
You know, like, knowing, I'm standing ringside, so I know what it sounds like when someone gets hit with one of those. Knowing
what they would normally sound like. But we don't usually have this much time for predictions, but let's get into some predictions.
Oh, do you want to talk about how he almost lit him on fire?
Oh, yeah.
And he blew.
Hold on, wait.
Pause that. Thank you, Josh.
Pause the theremin.
Time out.
Pause the theremin. We forgot to finish the episode. So, yeah, exactly. So they empty out the gasoline onto Pentagon Dark.
This is gasoline.
Marty breaks out a Zippo lighter, is about to drop it, but it looks like he's just trying to send the message that he could. He could have done it.
And then he blows out the flame as the episode ends.
Blows it out very, very Bray Wyatt style. If anyone is familiar with Human Torches, it's Vampiro, given his history with Sting in WCW. Human Torch match.
Or,
yeah, exactly.
WSX. That's what I meant to say. With Vampiro and Mill, when he lit... Do you know this story?
I forgot about that, yeah.
So at WXW, Mill, who was Judas Messias at the time,
yes,
is supposed to have a feud with Vampiro, and he's supposed to flash paper him, where he throws one piece of flash paper in his face, and they just gave him the entire stack of flash paper and didn't tell him, like, hey, man, light one of these. So he lit the entire stack and threw it in his face, and it was so bad, MTV, like, made it a cheesy graphic. So it looks like he, like, thunderbolts him.
Jesus.
To cover up, like, so no kids went home and, like, fireballed each other.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's your tip of the day, guys. Only use the one sheet of flash paper.
Yeah.
So we go off the air with Marty the Moth blowing out the Zippo lighter, so.
Made me think of Double Impact. The beginning of Double Impact.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah. Where he's like, this is gasoline. And then because he's buying fake cocaine.
See, I was thinking of the Daddy Yankee song.
I was thinking of Gasolina. The Crow. Fire it up.
There you go. There you go.
Awesome. Halloween season is here, y'all.
All sorts of stuff. It's October. It's spooky season.
Spooky.
Oh, man. So, that being said, now let's get into some predictions.
Theremin. Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Give us the real one. Thank you.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
He's like, we got 7 minutes. Don't waste it on the 30-second
Stinger. Can't finish the episode if I don't get my theremin.
Get your theremin in.
Man, we don't usually get so much time.
Run down Ultimo.
So, Ultimo Lucha, as it stands right now, if we can assume that Taya and Ricky Mundo becomes official, we've got Taya taking on Ricky Mundo, we've got Johnny Mundo taking on Matanza in a Sacrifice to the Gods match, or that could just mean that Johnny is getting sacrificed if he loses. Who knows? We've also got Mask versus Mask, Son of Havoc taking on Killshot. 2 out of 3 falls match between Phoenix and Dragon Azteca Jr. A death match between Mil Muertes and the Mac. And of course, the main event, the Cero Miedo match for the Lucha Underground Championship. Marty the Moth Martinez defending the title against Pentagon Dark.
I hope Pentagon loses because I want to see Marty and what he'll do with this title.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm scared for the Mac. Just not only for deathmatch purposes, but because of, like, gear-wise. Like, you wear trunks, dog.
Right.
You wear trunks, and that's it.
You don't have a whole lot of protection.
You ain't got a lot of protection. So I'm worried. And Lucha's probably, like, one of the only companies that uses light tubes that's on TV.
That is true. That is
you
true.
You know, so, like, a deathmatch for them means there's probably going to be light tubes. So
right.
Worried for Willie. I think Phoenix is going to... I want to say, like, I think he's going to change.
Okay.
Between the three falls.
What do you think it's going to be?
He's going to be, like, evil again and about to, like, win the second fall and just, like, kill Azteca. And maybe Aerostar shows up. Because Aerostar said he's seen the end. Knows what happens.
He's the Doctor Strange of this universe. He's seen how it all ends.
Which is crazy.
Right. I think I said last week, it's the Eye of Agamotto now. We used to call it his arc reactor, but now it's his Eye of Agamotto.
I think Killshot wins and Son of Havoc loses his mask.
Interesting, okay.
And then Son of Madness shows up and takes his cut.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And then we just get regular Matt Cross after
maybe.
That?
Maybe. M-Dog 20.
That would be cool.
And Josh Prohibition.
I was just about to say, bring back Josh Prohibition.
What else is there? There was like two more I missed.
Taya
and Ricky. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be great. I hope Ricky wins.
Right.
And does like some crazy shit, like cuts her hair.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Like, cuts
yeah.
off her braids. Yeah, or, like, yeah, does yeah. something nuts.
Right. So I think we need to see Ricky win at this point.
Yeah, Ricky has to win.
Yeah. If we're gonna buy him as a credible threat in the temple, I think he definitely has to win this match.
It goes back to like what we were saying about Reclusa earlier. Mm. If she would have came in her debut and wrestled a top guy and lost right away to his first finishing move,
right,
and been like, why did we wait so long?
For yeah, her? Exactly.
Why did she scare off Sexy Star and she's supposed to be so bad, but right. she's already taken out?
Mm.
Weird. Kind of like what they should have did with Jake Strong. You know?
Oh, sure.
They should have really made him, oh, shit. Like, he came in and went toe-to-toe with Matanza and didn't get sacrificed. Like,
right.
Oh, man, this guy's a valuable character.
Sure.
Instead of like, oh, he's with Famous B and now he's not with Famous B.
Right,
and
exactly.
now he's going to be the single tag champ and
right.
whatever else. What else was on that list?
I feel like I
missed one more.
Johnny Mundo and Matanza?
Johnny Mundo and Matanza. I don't think Matanza... I think Matanza is going to lose, but I don't know as far as, like, him being sacrificed.
I'm wondering if maybe he loses the match. He doesn't necessarily get sacrificed, but Antonio kills him, like, in a vignette, like, at the very, very end of the season, when we're getting that whole montage of, like, the epilogue, what everyone's doing in the vignettes.
What if, like, he loses, and he goes, and you just see Dario's body there, like, lifeless, like a puppet, just dead body, and, like, the soul hops out of Matanza and back into Dario, and then Matanza's body goes lifeless? He's like, even in another vessel, I still can't win. Like,
I dig that.
How crazy would that shit be?
I dig that.
You know?
I miss the whole subplot of, like, the order with, like, Lorenzo Lamas and yes! Godfrey and all that.
Make seven up yours, dog.
Make seven up yours. We haven't gotten a lot of that this season.
And then, like, the cop with the...
with the medallion?
Yeah.
The Captain Vasquez, I think? Yeah. I don't know.
We need more post-credit vignettes.
Yeah, we do.
We haven't had them in like
this
3 episodes.
This season has been scant on those. I'm all over the place with my predictions. The one that I will put out there, I think Phoenix and Mill are going to stay kind of as a unit for a little while. And I think Katrina's going to return. And I think they're all going to be sort of a unit.
Oh.
But what I would like to see is I would like to see them as a unit, but also joined by maybe a new three Disciples of Death. Like, I want it to be a huge... I want the Ministry of Darkness in the temple is what I'm saying, really.
With Christopher Daniels.
Exactly, with Christopher damn Daniels. Damn Fallen Daniels. Angels. Back at it again with the angel's wings. Oh, man. So we got a lot to look forward to. We've got 3 weeks until the beginning of Ultima Lucha Quattro, which is only 2 weeks long. So there are not many episodes left in this season. Something like that.
You got 5 on it. So what does that put us at? Like the right before Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think it'll be early November.
You think we'll get a crazy Halloween/Day of the Dead episode?
God, I hope so. I really, really, really hope so. But we've only got a handful of episodes left, guys, so tell your friends.
Before we go, I thought it would have been so cool because, like, we've talked about it before. Like, they're missing the boat on, like, merchandise.
Of course.
And why aren't there Halloween costumes?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how dope it would have been if during commercials tonight, it would have been, like, your favorite Lucha Underground stars dressed up as, like, their favorite Halloween costumes.
Absolutely.
And, like, Penta as Freddy Krueger or like crazy shit like that. Like just making me think of like recently WWE did that with them as ECW characters.
Oh yeah.
So it was like all the modern people of today dressed like ECW guys.
Yeah.
And it looked really cool. And it was a way to share it on social media and get more people involved. With Halloween like right around the corner, that's a huge thing that Lucha could have done.
Exactly. Get into the Halloween spirit, everyone.
Spooky.
It's just time to get spooky. So we will be back here, same time, same channel, next week, talking episode 19. Remember, if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. If you're on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5-star if you're nasty. Until next week, Jimbo, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Subscribe to youtube.com/xpoc and check out our interview with Jeff Cobb. He's a monster.
There you go. As always, you can find me on all forms of social media at TyMatthewsPMA. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. That's definitely the PlayStation Network now that the Overwatch Halloween event is in full swing. You can find me on Saturdays, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, as well as Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Pacific, on The Purge After Show. There are only 4 episodes left in The Purge, so make sure to tune in to that. We'll be right back here, same time, same channel, next week, 9 p.m. Pacific, talking episode 19. But until then,
Viva la Lucha!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.